Welcome to the Migrant in Business Pod, the Migrant Entrepreneurship Podcast Series powered by Euclid Network and funded by the European Union. In this first episode, you will learn how to take the first steps as a migrant entrepreneur and how intermediary organizations can support you. How do you start your business and how can support organizations help migrants with the first steps to become an entrepreneur? My name is Annette van Soest and I'm joined by Amber Bleker. She works at Social Impact Factory and runs a social entrepreneurship program at the Asylum Center in the city of Utrecht. And Christian Wietz, who also has experience with migrant entrepreneurs and works at Euclid. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, Christian, why did Euclid want to take the initiative for this podcast series?
Thanks, Annette. Euclid is all about social entrepreneurship, and as such, one part is around migrant entrepreneurship. So this is where we have seen good practices done all across Europe, where we're excited to be joined with a practitioner here today. And we want to collect these best practices in a podcast as also an innovative way to showcase them.
Euclid runs different programs throughout Europe.
Indeed.
What do you do exactly?
So we are funded. Indeed, we have a structural funding from the European Commission to grant or to give access to finance, especially providing a funding toolkit. Besides that, we facilitate exchanges of entrepreneurs and also more civil society leaders. And beside that, we work in a project in the MENA region to support their social enterprise ecosystem.
Who should listen to this podcast and why?
Very, very good question. I think everybody, if you're listening, you are the right person. I think migrant entrepreneurship is something that has really a very diverse set of stakeholders that can all tune into this and see how this topic is really core to inclusion, core to strengthening our economies, and also really seeing where migrant entrepreneurship might be happening, where you, if you're listening, might have not seen it before. So I hope that everybody can benefit here.
And when we talk about migrants, what's your definition of migrant?
We understand migrants as those who come from outside Europe and come indeed here and start their business activities here.
We have set up our portable recording studio in The Hague, the Netherlands, the new hometown of Euclid.
Yes.
Why did you move from the UK to the Netherlands?
Well, as I already mentioned, we as Euclid Network are mainly funded by the European Commission. We were in London before, really enjoyed our time there, but with the changes in the political landscape and our desire...
You can say the word. Brexit.
Brexit. And our desire to very much stay true to our European identity, we thought it necessary to stay in a place that is firmly embedded in the European Union. And so the decision was made that we would move to the continent, and then in the end ended up here, that I think we all are very happy with.
We have a Dutch best practice with us today, but the podcast series is featuring stories and experts from all over Europe, right?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I think it is something that's happening all across Europe. I think in very different forms and formats, depending on the location and country specifics. But I think it's great that to be able to be joined here today.
And we are joined by Amber. We were talking about how Euclid introduces best practices to different European countries. You yourself are involved in the Utrecht Refugee Launchpad.
Yes.
That's the English name. Plan Einstein, or Plan Einstein, is the Dutch name.
Yes. That's the name that people usually, when they talk about Utrecht Refugee Launchpad, because that's a mouthful. Plan Einstein is shorter.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about the initiative?
Yeah, of course. So Plan Einstein is Utrecht Refugee Launchpad, which is funded by the European Union for the Urban Innovative Action Fund. And a few years ago, there were a lot of migrants coming to Europe. So there was a call to action to different cities in Europe to facilitate a better integration for migrants. And there was a funding available in different cities. So Antwerp, Vienna, Bologna, and Utrecht. They joined the Urban Innovative Action. And they got a funding to start a migrant project. And the Utrecht Refugee Launchpad is the one in Utrecht. And it's called Plan Einstein because we were at the Einstein Dreef Street in Overvecht in Utrecht. And Einstein is a refugee himself, so we thought it was a nice name for the project.
How does the approach work? What do you do?
We try to activate migrants from day one. And we try to do that across two themes, English and entrepreneurship, because we thought if refugees come to the Netherlands, they don't know for sure if they can stay here or if they have to move to another country. So we thought we have to teach them something that's useful wherever they end up being. So a future-free approach, we call that. So then we decided it would be English and entrepreneurship. So people can follow courses, English up to Cambridge level. So that's a really nice high level. And entrepreneurship courses, which vary from workshops and coaching, network, or start your own business program. And one of the key components of Plan Einstein is that we do not only work with refugees, but also with residents from the neighborhood. And the combination of the different people who get to meet each other, who do not get to meet each other in normal life, we facilitate that. That's a really large part of the success of Plan Einstein, I think.
Because you don't only need courses, you need a network. And this is what
network
you provide.
Yes, network is really important. And it's, you can like force someone into a network, but if it goes in a natural way, just meeting people during a workshop and then getting to know each other, that's the best way to start a network, I guess. And it has proven to work, I guess, at Plan Einstein, because people are really enthusiastic and there are really a lot of success stories to be told.
What's the biggest motivation for migrants to start their own business?
I guess a lot of times people in their home country, they had a job, they had a house, a family, they really had their life together. And if they come here, they have most of the time nothing or not much left. And they want to take control of their own life again. And I think entrepreneurship is a very good way of doing that because you can take care of yourself literally then. And also entrepreneurship, even if you do not start your own business, you can be an entrepreneur. You can have an entrepreneurial mindset, and that helps you in a lot of aspects of your own life as well. It's not only about starting a business.
Christian?
Yes, to give a little backstory, I previously did research in Jordan before my Euclid life, amongst Syrian refugees who had indeed come to Jordan, and my research was around innovation and how they develop solutions for the different challenges. And exactly what you say, Amber, is so true, that it's so I want to say beautiful to see their initiative, their sense of agency, and to say that to their challenges they want to develop solutions. And in that, it I found people to be incredibly entrepreneurial and to be so, on one hand, so understanding of their problems or challenges that they were able to develop very, very clear solutions to them. And with that, there's one particular story about a woman who set up a business making soaps because she's and beauty products, because she spoke about how it gave her a sense of self and of control in a place where so much was out of control, to having this little time for herself and also then sharing that with others was really, really inspirational.
Yeah, perfect. We totally agree then.
But also a part of the reason is that they're not qualified in their new country to act out their profession a lot of the times.
Most
if you
times.
Are a doctor in Syria, then you can't work as a doctor in the Netherlands. So
a lot of times your diploma isn't accepted accepted here. So you can't do the job you were used to do in your home country. Mm. And then entrepreneur, you don't need the diploma to be an entrepreneur. So you can just start right away.
It gives back control.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
The Social Impact Factory gives workshops about entrepreneurship. Amber, what do people learn during those workshops? Can you give a couple of examples?
Yeah, of course. First, it's important an important note that we as the Social Impact Factory, we're not the only project partner in the Plant Einstein project. We work with a lot of partners, also the City of Utrecht, which was the main partner for the project.
Launching partner?
Yeah, the launching partner. But also the Volksuniversiteit, the Utrecht Center for Entrepreneurship, Vluchtelingenwerk. So there's a lot of partners involved, and we all do different parts of the project. So the Utrecht Center for Entrepreneurship, they do entrepreneurship courses of 8 weeks, for example. But the Social Impact Factory does a Start Your Own Business program, and that's about 4 months. And a lot of migrants, they start with the entrepreneurship course and maybe a little bit of English courses, which are given by the Volksuniversiteit. And then they are enthusiastic about being an entrepreneur, and they start thinking about their own business idea. And then they join our Start Your Own Business program, which is quite intensive. So it's not for everyone.
Half a year, right?
Yeah, half a year, 4 months, half a year. It varies a little bit.
And what do you mean when you say it's intensive? How many days a week?
It's, I think, like the program is only 1 day a week, but participants are expected to do work in their own time. So they have to write a business plan. They have to write a financial plan, just what it's all about to be an entrepreneur. And we guide them through that process through workshops. So sometimes they're not really experienced in writing a good financial plan, and we explain to them how to make a financial plan. We talk to them about crowdfunding, for example. This Thursday, I guess, there is a crowdfunding workshop planned. So because that's one type of financial planning.
Yeah, alternative finance.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that later on in this series.
Okay. That's nice. I'll keep listening then. but we also talk to them about marketing and communication, how to be on social media, how to pitch yourself. So it's like a complete package of how to start your own business.
Are there any entry requirements to take part in this program?
No, not formal entry requirements, but it is nice if you speak English or Dutch. But we have a couple of participants who are in the program right now who do not really speak Dutch or English, but they take their own translator with them. So we make it work. So that's not really a requirement. And people have to have a business idea, but it can be anything. So that's not really boundary for people.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a viable idea.
We can help you develop the idea. And sometimes people have a business plan idea and they want to develop it further. And during the process, they find out, okay, maybe it wasn't the best idea. Maybe I have to do something else. But we say, okay, that's good as well. It's not the point of the program to really start your own business. Of course, it would be really nice if people aim to do that and they get there, but you're not a failure if you don't get there, because you have learned a lot along the way. And
failure is part of doing business, right? It's part of a startup environment.
We try to invite some people who are entrepreneurs themselves and have failed with a few enterprises to show them a realistic view on, okay, what it is to be an entrepreneur, because it's not always happy sunshine and success.
Christian, migrants are not a homogeneous group, but can you signal trends? What type of businesses do they start?
Gladly. So when we speak about migrant entrepreneurs, what we see is that some of them are indeed very active in non-what you will traditional migrant entrepreneurship sectors, such as we have 8% in this is from a 2012 study from the European Commission that that we can also somehow share, and there we see that 8% work in professional scientific or in the technical sector, 6% in manufacturing, and 6% in human health and social work. So those are ones that are maybe not traditional migrant entrepreneurship sectors. What is in that study understood as wholesale and retail trade?
But this is a study from 2012, so it's indeed before the big influx of migrants into Europe.
Well, what is interesting, there's another study from the OECD from 2014. So that is slightly later, and that signals that we have seen a 70% increase over the past 10 years of migrants in the workforce. So there we see just how much migrants are part of contributing and being part of our economy.
Okay, but that's part of the workforce. So it's not, they don't necessarily run their own business.
Indeed.
Aren't there any more recent figures or studies?
One thing that was especially signaled out also in this study is that it's really difficult to actually get to these numbers. This is one of the challenges that we face, is that much data is not available. There's definitely a need for more recent data on migrant entrepreneurship from the European Commission.
Umber, after 6 months, 4 to 6 months, the Start Your Own Business program is finished. What's the next step?
We see the Start Your Own Business program as really the start of a process. So a lot of times the participants, they have a business plan and they have they're on the start of a really nice journey, but we have to help them further. So we try connecting them to our network of social enterprises and companies all over the Netherlands, and we try connecting them to a coach who helps them in a few months develop their plan even further and maybe even register in the Chamber of Commerce, for example, because we know the program is not enough to start your own business. They have to have another little push to really succeed in doing that.
How do you find these coaches? Who are they?
That's a really diverse group. When we first,
are they entrepreneurs themselves?
Yes, sometimes, or consultants. It's really. I always feel really positive when I try to reach out to people to be a coach, because there's so much positive vibes around that. If you ask people to help a refugee start their own company, they're more than willing to help. They, most of the time, well, almost never, they say no. And if they say no, it might be because they're busy running their own enterprise. And there's a lot of people who want to help do this. When we first had the call to action for coaches, there were in like 1 week 80 people that applied for being a coach. There were even too many coaches. We couldn't all match them to a refugee. But we started targeting more specific coaches later on for people who had a specific idea for a business, and we tried matching them to a coach who was also in that sector of entrepreneurship or consultancy, and that worked really well.
How do you measure the effectiveness of the program?
There is actually the universities of Oxford and Roehampton are doing research on Plan Einstein, because it's a European fund. They're also involved in measuring the results. So they measure of all the project partners, how many participants are joining, how many workshops are given, how many coaches are matched, how many people might be starting an enterprise, how do the residents in the neighborhood react to Plan Einstein. So they measure almost everything.
Do they measure the number of registrations with the Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, I guess they do, but I don't think I have the official numbers for the whole project. They will be out in October, because then the European project, the fund, ends. Plan Einstein is more than likely to continue, because the city of Utrecht is really enthusiastic about Plan Einstein. So they will find another way to finance Plan Einstein. But in October, the final results will be out. So then everything, you can look it up, I guess, on the Urban Innovative Actions website.
And then, Christian, the logical step would be for other countries or other cities to copy-paste this initiative, if it's working this well.
I completely agree. I think what we see is that migrant entrepreneurship has a great ability to foster social cohesion and to really bring host communities or the communities to together with the migrants who are there and to really bringing them together. The exchanges, I believe they are happening.
Amber, can you say something about that? Is this initiative being picked up by other countries?
Yes, it actually is. That was also the goal of the Urban Innovative Action Fund that started in four cities. But last week or 2 weeks ago, I was in Antwerp at an Urban Innovative Action workshop. And there are the four cities who are doing a project on refugee entrepreneurship were joining, so Utrecht, Antwerpen, Bologna and Vienna. Mm-hmm. But there were, I guess, around 20 other cities there as well to listen to what the cities already doing things had to tell. And they were really interested, asking a lot of questions on refugee entrepreneurship and how we were doing what everyone wants to do. Mm-hmm. So that's really like a learning community.
Is there something that you heard over there from the other cities participating that you would like to include in your program? Was there something that inspired you or gave you energy?
what gave me energy overall was the enthusiastic manner in which all the cities were presenting about refugee entrepreneurship. What I liked about, for example, the city of Antwerp is that they work a lot with young refugees and they couple them to buddies, like Dutch people who live in the neighborhood. And they have a buddy system so that they get a network really quick. And we were talking about a financial system as well where refugees could come in the Netherlands and they could have kind of a loan to pay for an entrepreneurship course, for example, and then pay it back afterwards when they had started their own business. I think that's really a long shot because it's a lot of rules that have to be broken or bended to get there. But it was nice to have kind of a dream situation and a lot of people were enthusiastic about that. So I think that's a start for a nice future.
That is very interesting. And I think it's particularly interesting that you point out access to finance as being one of the challenges that is really prevalent among migrant entrepreneurs because they are often, and from what I know is that is also something that is captured in a later podcast and that we'll speak about this.
How does Euclid help with this? Can you give an example?
So we have just recently released a funding toolkit where we speak about the different relevant EU funding streams or the funding stream of the European Commission and showcase very clearly there regarding what actions can be funded through which budget line, if you will. And so when it then comes to migrant entrepreneurship, you can go into this funding toolkit that you find on our website. You can see where it comes in under, let's say you have an innovative approach or you have something around social cohesion. And there you can then see per funding line, so to say, what tenders are open and how you can apply for this. So this is one specific way. Besides that, it also shows different cash prizes that you can apply for. So really giving people ability to access EU funding that is available there.
And is that targeted to the migrant entrepreneurs or is it targeted to social entrepreneurs in general?
What's the
audience?
Yeah, the audience is indeed broader than just migrant entrepreneurs. But in that, they're surely included in them. So I would surely encourage them to apply, because I believe that there's a firm understanding about the need to address this issue.
Amber, what's the next step for Plan Einstein and the Social Impact Factory?
I think next step for Plan Einstein is developing our program even further. As I just said, in October, the final results for the whole project will be out. And then we have the chance to, together with City of Utrecht and other project partners, develop the program even further and maybe more tailored to Utrecht. But I think we're also going to keep doing what we're doing because we are quite successful in what we do.
How many migrants have you helped already?
I think we're at, for Social Impact Factory, around 400. And they're not all in our Start Your Own Business program, but sometimes they only join a few workshops or only have a network conversation, which we try getting for them. But I think 400 that's quite a good number, isn't it?
And as you said already, there are quite a few success stories.
Yes.
Do you want to share one with us?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think I have a nice example. That's from a refugee who used to be in the asylum seeker center, but he got a house in Utrecht, so he's living there now. And he now wants to give back something to the community of refugees. So he's now pairing up with the Utrecht Center for Entrepreneurship and giving WordPress workshops to refugees who are now in the Asylum Seeker Center. And I think that's the kind of two-way street we're looking for. Refugees are not sad people you have to help and give aid to. They're more than that. They're also people who can be empowered and are able to give something back to the community. So I think that's a really nice example of what Plan Einstein is trying to do.
Christian, any final comments or thoughts?
I love hearing this story. And I think this is so much what our desire is to see in this, is to see increased cohesion, increased social cohesion, to see how you know, we can build societies that are inclusive and to see how we can do that sustainably. I think UCLA Network supporting social enterprise across Europe can be very broad, but when it then has applications like this and where we can see that it becomes so tangible, this is always as something that really excites us and really propels us forward in the work that we do.
Thank you, Amber Bleker and Christian Wietz. If you want to know more about migrant entrepreneurs and support organizations, you can visit linktr.ee/Euclid, and there you will find a couple of links to useful websites. Thanks for listening to Migrant in Business Pod, the Migrant Entrepreneurship Podcast series powered by Euclid Network and funded by the European Union. In the next episode, we will be talking more about the cultural barriers migrants encounter when they start their own business. And in the third and last episode, we will talk about access to funding. See you next time.